And as we talk today and just work through a passage of scripture, I encourage you to write down anything that sticks out to you or jumps out to you. It won't necessarily be something that I say, but it might be a thought that comes to mind for you. It might be something you read. It might be something that we've sung. But feel free to make a note of it to help it to stay with you. You know, I believe that we are here by divine appointment. That it's the grace of God upon us and not some random act that we are in each other's company and in the presence of the living God. I mean, there's no reason for me to be here. I'm from Baltimore. I came to Yale, got a PhD in genetics. There's no reason for me to be standing here except that I believe God has work that he wants to do in us and through us. And for some reason, he's allowed our paths to cross. And I understand that it's my assignment to help you further your journey in faith. Whether you are just beginning, whether you are midway through, fully mature, or even and especially if you're at the end of your rope. On a scale of 1 to 10, you know, what is your sense of God having a purpose for you? What is your understanding that God has a purpose for you, that you have a mission in Christ? So if 10 is, you know, absolutely sure, and 1 is, I don't think so, probably not. You know, what number would you give yourself? You don't have to answer it. I am curious. But, you know, what number would you give yourself on a scale of 1 to 10? Your sense or your understanding that God has purpose for you. Are you around 1 to 4? Between 5 and 6, 7 to 8, 9 and 10? Just your understanding and sense that God has purpose for you. I recognize from scripture and also from living that navigating faith is a dynamic journey. It's full of experiences and therefore it's also full of emotion. And I honor where you are today and I support what God is doing in your life and even what he's doing in the lives of those around you. Our time together today is the second installment in this series that I'm titling Emotional Faith, where we get an opportunity to glean lessons and insight and wisdom from the faith journey of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus Christ. And where we enter the text today, the angel Gabriel, an angel from God, announces to Mary that she has been chosen by God to birth a son, whose name shall be Jesus. And Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus will reign in his kingdom. Mary was a Jewish young lady, a virgin, and engaged to be married. This announcement identified to Mary a new life that would have biological, romantic, societal, religious, cultural, and political ramifications. Consequences I'm unsure that Mary fully understood. Nonetheless, this young woman's response was, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it happen to me according to what you have just said." You know, what willingness of Mary to step into all that God had for her and in turn, all that God had for the world. Could it be that your assignment in Christ is not just for you? Could it also be that your assignment in Christ and your purpose is also for those around you? Maybe people you have never met before, maybe people you would never dare to meet. This was the case for Mary. So our opening text is Luke, written by a person named Luke. We call it the Gospel of Luke in the first chapter. On your piece of paper, there should be the scripture there, Luke. We do have Bibles. I left them upstairs. So that's my bad on that. But I attempted to put the main scripture passage in your text. So it's Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 34, going through verse 35. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." For the few minutes that we have today, I want to speak from the theme, when faith touches faith. When faith touches faith. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to gather. God, I pray that you would sit me down and you would quiet me, and that we would hear all of you, see all of you, and receive everything that you have for us today. I thank you for this people under the sound of my voice. God, do for them all that you purpose to do. Show off in their life. Make yourself strong in their eyes, dear God, and provide for them as only you can. We thank you for this time. Anoint us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet to operate in your power and not in our own strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God has a way of distinguishing himself. God has a way of distinguishing himself as God and God alone. God has a way of stretching my faith and stretching your faith. The angel Gabriel, in the verses we read, but even in some verses before that we spoke about last week, the angel Gabriel shares with Mary something miraculous will happen with her. So the angel Gabriel shares with Mary that something miraculous will soon happen with her. And before delivering this news, Gabriel speaks life into Mary, speaking directly to Mary's need for acceptance, her need for identity, her need for security, her need for purpose. And after delivering the big news, Gabriel, perhaps recognizing the detrimental nature of doubt and preemptively cutting doubt off before it might start in Mary's mind, shares with Mary some even bigger news of what God has already done. In Luke chapter 1, verse 36, it says, Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Now, a couple of things stand out to me about Gabriel's message. His message to strengthen the validity of God's big idea. The first thing Gabriel says is, "Elizabeth, your relative." Gabriel chooses a person and a story with whom Mary would be familiar, if not intimately familiar, because they are relatives. The familiarity would allow Mary to judge for herself the scenario that Gabriel is to share. Number two, Gabriel says that Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. Mary, you are not the only one God is blessing. You know, be careful or be mindful if you think that you're the only one who God is blessing. that you're the only one for whom God has his hand upon. It may not be true. God has the divine ability to bless you and to bless me and to bless you. God is not limited in resources. God doesn't have a balance sheet like many financial organizations do, where he needs to put a little here and a little there. But God is able to bless more than just one person and to do it at the same time. And Gabriel says, Elizabeth has conceived a son. Well, who is Elizabeth? And what would make her conceiving a son remarkable news? First, Elizabeth was old. She was past the normal years of childbirth, and it is unexpected that she would conceive a son at her advanced age. And more than her old age, Elizabeth was barren, so much so that she was called barren. In ancient Israel, barrenness was seen as a cause for shame. And it's true that sometimes in life, there are things that are a part of us. There are things that happen with us that make their way to defining us. Defining us so much so that our name becomes synonymous with the condition or the experience. The association can be limiting, to say the least, but please know that God is not limited by what limits us. God is not confounded by your experiences or about your condition. God doesn't look at you with the same perplexion that other people may look at you. God is not limited. In Elizabeth's case, the opening of the womb indicated God's grace, both to Elizabeth and to those who know her and know about her. And the Gabriel said furthermore to Mary, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. In her pregnancy, Elizabeth is finishing her second trimester and entering her third and final trimester. Elizabeth is more than halfway through her pregnancy. Now, in the early stages of a pregnancy, people may wonder whether a person is truly pregnant or whether the pregnancy may last. Lady Rochelle and I last night, all the way through, I don't know, till about maybe 3 a.m. this morning, we have the Light family. I don't know, we've known them for 15 years or so. But a couple, and they were delivering. So they went into the hospital, and we were getting updates on what was happening. But we saw them at a wedding on Thursday, and she is obviously pregnant. You know, there comes a point where a woman's just obviously pregnant, and sometimes people can tell. And then there's a stage where you don't dare ask. Like, you may think she might be, but you don't know. But then there's the early stage, you know, where nobody knows. And the woman may be saying, I'm pregnant, but there's no outward evidence that she is. And think about this. Elizabeth is past the age of childbearing. She's been barren all her life. And the angel comes to her and says, God is going to have you to conceive a son. And his name is going to be John the Baptist. And she has to go through all these weeks of not presenting like she's pregnant. But in faith, she's saying, I am. But by the time Mary gets to her, she's already in her second trimester, 6 months pregnant, and there's some evidence there, at least physically, possibly, that she is developing a baby inside of her. Now, in the sixth month of pregnancy, God has borne himself and his word out to be true. The unlikely is happening, and it is happening to someone with whom Mary is personally familiar. The reason this is significant is because God may speak to you in your life, but for a long time, it may not appear that his word is true. And part of the journey of faith is being willing to go through those stages of time where it doesn't seem like his word is true. God's talking about where you're going to go, who you're going to be, who you're going to meet, possibly what your family will be and what your impact will be. But you're not married, or you're married, but things don't come together, or you're still in school and God is showing you what's happening at your graduation, or God is showing you what's happening in your community, but you don't even live in your community. You're away from your community right now. God can give you a word about how he's going to use you and how he's going to work for you. But it doesn't mean that it's going to come to pass today. And the question is, do you have the faith? And are you willing to make the journey of the in-between time where it's not clear to you and it's not clear to others? But Gabriel makes his point crystal clear to Mary in verse 37. For with God, nothing is impossible. Mary's response is that she believes God. And through she believes God and through his messenger, Gabriel. And then Mary pays Elizabeth a visit. When God speaks to you about your destiny. And I recognize that as I'm speaking with you today, you may have in mind something that God has spoken to you. And I also recognize that you may not have a sense of God saying anything to you. But when it happens, you'll be able to recognize it and you'll know how to respond. When God speaks to you about your destiny and purpose, don't be afraid to move your feet. In fact, it is necessary that you do move. Mary went to visit Elizabeth, but be careful who you run to. Be careful who you run to. In verse 39, it says, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Briefly, for the few minutes remaining, I just want to share with you and speak with you about what happens when faith touches faith. Mary, moving with urgency and a sense of purpose, moving with intent, hastens to see Elizabeth. And when God speaks with you about your destiny in him, who you are and what he is going to do, there is nothing wrong with seeking out another person with similar faith. Mary finds Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, too, like Mary, has been chosen and is called to be a part of God's larger picture. Mary finds another person who is locked on to God's destiny for her. And I'm not just talking about somebody who believes or just somebody who attends church, but somebody who is actually walking out in faith what God has shared with them. When Mary visits Elizabeth, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, 6 months ahead of Mary, walking out her promise in God. So Mary goes to somebody who is ahead of her and connects with her. When the two women get together, I like to say that their faith touched. Verse 41 says, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias, was told by angel Gabriel that their son, John, that he would be filled with the Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And so when Mary called out to Elizabeth, scripture says that the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped and filled with the Holy Spirit. The other sign that a pregnancy is going to be viable is that the baby will move. And sometimes in the pregnancy, it can be very scary if you're showing that you're pregnant, but the baby doesn't move. And the same thing can be the case when you're walking out your promise in God. Things are coming together, things are starting to take shape, you're a little further along, but something is just not right, just not clicking to you. And it can cause doubt to come in. And so Elizabeth is in this moment. But the Bible says when Mary walks in that the baby leaps. And it's just further confirmation that God's word is true. The baby physically moving in Elizabeth's pregnancy was confirmation for Elizabeth that the baby is alive and doing well. When the people of God who walk with God get together, watch out for movement in your spirit. Allow God to confirm for you his word. You know, being here is nice, but allow there to be a spiritual connection. Being out on campus and in the world is nice, but allow your spirit to connect with someone else's spirit to affirm for one another what God is doing. Touched, Elizabeth spoke in verse 42. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Elizabeth didn't whisper this. She said, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ear, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. When Elizabeth spoke back to Mary, Elizabeth returned the favor, speaking to Mary the words Gabriel spoke. Blessed are you among women. God has a way of utilizing the company of those walking in faith to affirm your purpose in Christ, to be your companion as you each walk in obedience, to confirm the voice of the Lord in your life. When God gives you a word and speaks to you about your destiny, it is easy for cynicism to creep in. It's easy for doubt to occupy your mind, for you to focus on how difficult the task may be. But when your faith touches the faith of other believers walking in their destiny, your purpose is affirmed, your destiny is celebrated, and you are undergirded emotionally. Do not neglect the gathering together of the saints. Do not walk this walk of faith alone. You might have a word of faith that I need that confirms for me God's hand upon my life. I might be an encouragement for you. I am proof that God can take your life and do something miraculous. And what was Mary's response? Mary sang, and I'll read this in closing. I don't think this is on your sheet, but this is Mary's song. It says that Mary sang, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, and henceforth, all generations will call me blessed." Now, this is a woman talking whose son is going to be crucified, and she's going to see him on the cross. But even before it happens, she's made up in her mind what her song is going to be. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to their fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Brothers, sisters, write your song today. Begin now to pen the lyrics of all God shows you and your response. Don't wait for the end to see how things will shake out. But write your story today in faith according to all that God has shown you. And remember, something meaningful happens when faith touches faith. And so my closing questions for you to think about and to write down an answer to for yourself is, who do you need to see? Who do you need to see? Who are in your company of people walking with Christ who are leaning into their destiny? Where are you wrestling with your faith and need help and affirmation? So who do you need to see? Who are you? Who are in your community of people walking with Christ who are leaning into their destiny? And where are you wrestling with your faith and need help and affirmation?
God, thank you so much for allowing us to be here together. Thank you for the time we were able to spend in your word. God, please help us to walk in the steps that you've ordered for us. God, I pray that you would be in the relationship and the relationships of each person in this room. I pray that you would help them to find individuals who have made a decision to walk out their purpose in you and to live their destiny in you. God, I pray that you would link them with someone who is further along in their journey so that they can be encouragement for who's in this room. But God, I also pray that you would link those of us in this room with maybe people who are just starting off in their journey with you, that we might be an encouragement to them. God, there is no lack in your body, the body of Christ. And I pray that you would knit us together in such a way that we would affirm and confirm and encourage one another in our walk with you. Because God, I recognize that what you are doing for me is not just for me. And as great as it is, it also shows your love for other people. So God, do for us and through us all that you purpose to do. And help our relationships be the relationships that encourage us in our walk with you and in our destiny. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.